this morning. More disturbing news around the state of McGabbry Prison. The Nolan Show has learned more prison officers have been assaulted there. 11 prison staff were attacked over the course of the past 2 months. News comes as a team of inspectors begins a two-week inspection of McGabbry. That's to assess if improvements have been made following the publication of the most critical report ever about the prison 2 months ago. Well, this is what one serving prison officer told us on the programme at that time.
When you actually go into the block, there's a small lull before you open your first door. And from you open your first door till lunchtime lockup, it's just bedlam. Now, I'm not a shrinking valet, but it's frightening when you can get a threatened to be assaulted every day you go into work. There's threats of, you know, I'm going to knock your melt in. You just go, aye, right, then on. But when there's a day in, day out, and then I've been assaulted, and that's assaults directly, successful assaults. I've had to put my hands on prisoners and actually restrain them countless times. It's the violence in that place is just off the scale.
The experience there of one prison officer, his words spoken by an actor. Well, let's get the thoughts now of the DUP Assembly Member Edwin Poots, and we also have William McKee with us this morning, former governor at McGabbry Prison. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning. Good morning.
First of all, Edwin, your initial reaction to that news that we have had 11 attacks on prison staff over the course of the past 2 months?
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. In fact, the number may even be constrained in terms of the number that you've been given from the information that I received. But
What do you mean by that, Edwin? Just clarify that. Have you heard there's more?
Quite possibly there's more. I know that in one instance alone that four prison officers were quite badly assaulted. And we have a situation where prison officers, many of them are taking pills to go to work because of the sense of fear, and because they know that they are constantly going to be harassed, harangued, bullied by the prisoners, and that isn't a good environment for people to work in, obviously.
And where are you getting this from?
Well, I speak to people who work in the prison on a regular basis, and they keep me informed of what is going on in the prison. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for quite a while now, the prison yard hasn't been patrolled for the safety of the prison staff. Obviously, it's being watched very, very closely, and if an incident happens, prison staff will intervene. But just putting officers in to patrol it hasn't happened for a very long time. There is a current proposal to patrol the yard once again. And I know that prison staff are extremely concerned for the safety and well-being of staff who would be doing that, carrying out that duty.
William, as a man who once ran McGabbry Prison, 11 attacks on prison staff over the course of 2 months, Edwin there suggesting that figure indeed could be much higher. Is that a big number?
It would be a fairly big number. I'd just be interested to know if those assaults came in the areas occupied by the ODCs, the Ordinary Decent Criminals, or is it from the dissident houses? I mean, my understanding is that what's happening at night, the dissident houses, for example, have been given higher priority. So if they are staffed down in those houses, in order to keep those prisoners happy, if you like, what they do, they're closing down the ordinary accommodation where the ordinary prisoners are and moving staff across to work in the dissident blocks. Now, what happens then, you have prisoners who are anticipating they're going to be on lock for evening association. Then at the last minute, they're told no. There was even one occasion recently where they actually had unlocked them, and then had to tell them, we're going to lock us up again because we'll have to move staff. Now, when that happens, that puts a lot of pressure on the prison staff, and also the prisoners, obviously, because they think they're getting out, and then suddenly they're locked up again. You know, whenever you're locked 23 hours a day, there is a fair amount of tension. This is not me making an excuse for the prisoners, but this is giving the reasons why these type of things happen.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying then that resources could be being diverted towards the dissident prisoners who are in McGabbry at night time?
Yes, I've spoken to some of the officers recently, and that's what they've been able to tell me, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And to say that one occasion where they actually had to lock the prisoners up again after unlocking them where they think they're getting out for a few hours association. You know, so there's a lot of pent-up emotion.
Mm-hmm. And that frustration boils over then from time to time?
It does indeed, and that's not making excuses for the prisoners. It's just giving a reason why these things happen. The other thing is, as well, the prison service have lost an awful lot of experienced staff, especially over the past 2 years. And you've some of the new younger staff who have come in, and I think there may be a lack of experience as well.
It sounds as if they may not have enough staff. If they're having to take in from one wing, shutting that down to move to another wing, would that not suggest to you that they could do with more officers?
Well, probably, but I mean, one of the ongoing problems they have in McGabbery, because of the assaults and because of the amount of stress and pressure the staff are working under, the sickness levels, I understand, are particularly high at the moment.
That's interesting, isn't it, Edwin? Williams' assessment there, the fact that we could be moving prison officers around to try and accommodate those prisoners who present a higher risk, and then the upshot of all of that is that we're left with frustrated prisoners then who have to spend longer in their cells because there's no officers patrolling the wings. Is that the kind of stuff you're hearing?
Yes, well, Williams' information I would entirely agree with. And, you know, this didn't happen over the course of the last few months. You know, a year and a half ago, the prison governor's aim were warning the director of prisons, Sue McAllister, and her director of operations, Paul Cockwell. They were warning them that they needed more staff badly, and they were operating with around 80 prison officers short way back then. And the process for actually bringing in new prison officers was delayed and delayed. And the consequence was that we heard the report of the prison being dangerous. That was as a result of the prison being starved of the staff, being starved of the resources. And then we had the absolutely shameful debacle of the minister actually blaming two governors who had been requesting the additional staff and the resources to carry out the job that they had to do. So they were starved of the resource and then blamed for the result. And I think the blame has to lie very clearly with the director and of the operations, Paul Cockwell, who moved on, McAllister, yeah, and with David Ford.
I'm not
the prison governor.
I'm sure David Ford may not agree with the, what you've said just there now in terms of his own interpretation of the situation
in
McGarry. And we have tried.
It is factual that they were requested additional staff. It is factual that that wasn't facilitated. And now, as a result of the investigation that has been carried out, resources has been thrown at McGabbery over the course of the last 6 months. And the fear of the people who are working in the prison is that once this next inspection is carried out, which is current, and the report is made, that the resources will disappear once again and be back to the same old, and that's not a satisfactory situation for anyone.
I should say we did ask to speak to the Justice Minister on the programme this morning. We were told that he wasn't available to come on to talk to us about these particular figures. William, I'm going to come back to you in a moment or two to talk about the staffing arrangements, because there was a very interesting disclosure made to Lord Morrow back in December in terms of the safe minimum requirement for prison officers on a particular wing. But before I do, I want to get the thoughts of John in Lisburn this morning. John, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Enda. I just think that it doesn't surprise me that McGabbery has got the reputation that it has. I think that we need to address the wider issue. There's so much violence in our community that's under the surface. I mean, recently we've had people kicked to death. We've had, you know, violence seems to be there. And the other thing, and you as a member of the BBC staff, and I'm not attacking you personally, the amount of violence that entertains us is incredible.
What do you mean entertains us?
Well, you look at the TV schedules. Look at the murder series. Look at the reality shows. You know, it doesn't surprise me that we seem to have lost any respect for authority. And once again this morning we're talking about firing money at this. It's not about money. It's about values. It's about human life. You know, it's about how we bring up our children. It's about our particular values.
Is it not about protecting prison officers?
Well, it is. It is. But it's about authority, and it's about the individuals that are in McGabbery. I mean, you know, they're not in there because they're solid citizens. You know, and I mean, it's an old cliche. The majority of prisoners would say that they shouldn't be in there.
But John, it was wrong that they were convicted. Yeah, the point we can't get away from, John, is that we have other prisons out there that operate a lot better than McGabbery does. Of course, McGabbery's been described as one of the most unsafe prisons in the UK, so there's a specific problem here.
No, sorry, Andy, for talking over you. Let's talk then about successes. I know an organisation in Manchester, which shall remain nameless, and their job, they're a Christian organisation. I don't make any bones about that. I'm a Christian, and a Christian organisation that rehabilitates offenders. And when I was last speaking to them, the local probation officer wanted to talk to him to see what the success was. You know what the success is?
Mm-hmm.
It's getting Jesus Christ back into people's lives. It's getting a fear of God. And I don't mean a fear of God as in a terror fear. I mean a respect of God into our lives again. We live in Ireland, north, south. I use the word geographically. And traditionally we had Christian values. We need to get back to those. Now,
okay.
It's not that I'm unsympathetic with the men that go into work and could have their lives taken from them. That's not right.
Uh-huh.
But let's talk about the real issues here.
Okay.
Because I, as a person, am fed up with people coming on and talking and ignoring the issues. The issues are values and morals.
Okay. And John, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much indeed for that. A point well made. There are 030 30 80 55 55 is the telephone number. 81771 is the text number. We hope to hear shortly as well from Finlay Spratt, who's obviously the man in charge of the Prison Officers Association. Before we do, William, I want to talk to you about what is the safe requirement for the number of prison officers on a particular wing at a particular time, because Lord Morrow got a response to a question he raised back in December, and the response was there is no specific complement of staff for a safe and effective prison environment. The regime delivered is in line with the minimum staffing level required under the staff deployment agreement. So it's all happening within the rules, is what this this response seems to be suggesting.
Well, the thing is, I mean, when I was there, it used to be 4 staff to the landing. And we understand this, that figure may have been reduced. And part of that is obviously to do with the cost-saving measures. Now, I wouldn't like to think that for the sake of a few pounds, some officers are going to lose their lives. And that would be one of my real, genuine concerns at the minute.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you should say that, because I was in McGilligan prison recently, and you say about 4 staff to a landing. The regime in McGilligan now is 2 staff to a landing. It used to be 4 as well. So there is an issue around the ratio of prison officers to actual inmates inside. But to hear somebody like you saying that there's a real fear now that prison officers could indeed lose their lives if this isn't tackled properly, that's frightening, William.
It absolutely is. You know, and I know from whenever I was in prison, yes, we're coming to the end of which was a really bad period. But now we still have the paramilitary prisoners. We have the ordinary prisoners who seem to be growing more frustrated by the day. And I'm not sure that Mr. Ford really understands. Possibly it's that he doesn't want to understand. And I would hate to think that someone will lose their lives before he's going to set up and take notice and put appropriate resources to deal with the problems.
Mm-hmm. That's a big statement, Edwin, isn't it? The former governor of McGabbery Prison suggesting that if things don't improve pretty quickly up there, that somebody could indeed lose their life. Is that the kind of feeling that you're hearing from the prison officers you're talking to?
Very frightening statement, and you know, I know that just from listening, William, that you know his information is well placed, and therefore we should take cognizance of it. I think one of the things that would concern us as well is whenever prisoners who assault prison officers are taken to court, we have seen little in the way of punitive measures being taken against them, and sentences set to run concurrently. So when a prison officer was taken hostage and held at knife point 3 years ago, the sentence offered there did not actually add any sentence onto the end of the prisoner's spell. And indeed, more recently, a prisoner who was engaged in assault had previously been charged with assaulting prison officers and hadn't any time added to their sentence. So courts need to ensure that whenever prisoners are taken to court for assaulting prison officers, that they are dealt with in a punitive way, as opposed to being dealt with kid gloves. And that goes for all frontline services, whether it's prison service, ambulance staff or anywhere else. We need to see those frontline staff protected by the courts when that happens. But William's point that prison officers' life could be at risk, I believe, is accurate. I think that we do need to be deeply concerned at some very often the numbers who are patrolling the prisons and the various cells and blocks, and we need to ensure that there are adequate numbers of prison officers with the skills and experiences to deal with the various situations that arise. Drugs are rife in the prison, both illicit drugs and legal drugs. prisoners therefore can respond in ways which you wouldn't anticipate or wouldn't expect because of the fact that they are taking drugs quite heavily, and that is another significant issue.
Interesting comment here from a serving prison officer right now who doesn't want to come onto the programme this morning, William, but he gives us a little bit of an insight of what it's like under the current regime right now. He says the CPOs are overstretched in work and receive no support. He says if they start any conversation with management regarding this, we are told to hand in our notices. Young staff are then being brought in on low salaries. Now, if that is the experience of one prison officer, and that's what he's telling us this morning, How alarming is that, William, that this is the response they seem to be getting from management, that if you don't like it, move on?
It's unbelievable, unbelievable. But I mean, what I will say, another fact that's come to my attention is that at least half of the new staff that have been recruited over this past couple of years are either on the sick or have resigned. Now, that should be telling both management and Sue McAllister that there's something seriously wrong in the prison. Mm-hmm. I mean, work can be hard enough to get out there, and with people on 19,000 a year resigning from their jobs.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be putting
would paint a picture and so on.
Yeah, we're going to be putting another call into the prison service this morning to get them to respond to some of the things that have been said on the programme this morning, just in fairness to them, so they can be a part of this wider debate, if you like. William, if you were in charge of McGarvey now, if you were still the governor there, what would you do to try and fix things?
Well, to be fair, the management there are struggling. I have no doubt they're on. I mean, one of the former senior governors is now off long-term sick, his problem was he felt like he was battering his head off the wall, not getting the support or the help that he needed. And it'd be very difficult because no matter what you want to do in McGarvey Prison, you need staff. And if they won't provide you with the resources, then you can't simply deal with the problem. You just have to try and get on and do your best with what you have. And we can see by the 11 assaults that that's obviously not working, and it's not the right strategy for them to be adopting.
Let's hear from Graham in Portadown. Graham, go ahead.
Good morning, Andy. First of all, the responsibility lies on one man, David Ford, who's very, very conspicuous by his absence this morning. Again, we've been talking about this subject year in, year out. But you know what it boils down to? It boils down to manpower and it boils down to money. It's about time we got rid of these overpaid prison officers. And so because there's so few of them, and by a private company, it will run it for a lot less.
It's easy to say that, Graham, but these prison officers are being attacked. You're saying they're overpaid, but no, the money they're getting, they're being attacked. Would you put yourself in their position?
They took the job on, they know the responsibility. But we can probably employ about three for the price of one on a private security company. We're paying upwards of $75,000 a year for every prisoner in there. So let's be honest about it. We can put in maybe three or four private security companies. We can put in three or four times the manpower. We can have three or four times the manpower walking the patrols. Now, as for the distance, well, if they want to play about, that's fine. Put them in the centre block, lock them down 24 hours a day, or put a wee military unit and charge them. A little Guantanamo in Northern Ireland wouldn't do them any harm. I would vote for it.
Graham, thank you very much indeed for that. Patrick's in Derry this morning. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, they might say it's an ill run, but it's only good. I'm just happy for the SDLP who never got the job in the first place. See, they were to get it. I remember DUP, puts his own now slagging him off, David Ford, but DUP and Sinn Féin ganged up, ignored the hunt system, and gave a job to poor David Ford, who's now getting, he's probably sorry he got the job. But he grabbed it at the time, and he got all the problems that goes with it. All I can say is it was a happy day for SDLP. They never got it. But please, leave David Ford alone. Don't let the DUP slag him off. Don't let the Sinn Féin slag him off, because they put him in there.
Okay, Patrick, I'll let Edwin respond to that in a moment or two. But before I do, let's hear from Fred and Drumore this morning. Fred, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it seems very strange when there was so much money spent on the jail. And family inspectors had to keep the jail safe. And the people in hospitals, you can't even get into the hospital. The whole system seems to be inside out. Of course, Northern Ireland's an upside down country anyhow.
Okay, before I come back to Edwin, let's get the thoughts of Alex from Cookstown. Alex, you used to be a prison officer.
Yes, I did not from Cookstown. I did, yes, years ago. And I think one of the problems is with dealing with paramilitaries, the British system is that you're up close to the prisoner. and you mix with the prisoner, you're in the wings with the prisoner. And that's fine with ordinary prisoners for the most part. But when you're dealing with paramilitaries who are organised and they're a team, and they've obviously no interest in having the prison run smoothly, it's simply just a recipe for disaster. And I think we need to look at how they actually are, how they operate British prisons generally, not just in Northern Ireland. You have jihadists over in England as well, and they'll have the same, they'll have the same issues.
Are you glad you're out of it?
Oh, right. Well, I'm out of it over a quarter of a century, very much so. Very difficult job. The other point I'd make is, when I was in it, a prison officer got paid roughly the same as a police officer and for doing what I thought was a more difficult job. Now they're paid a lot less. And I don't think you have the same esprit de corps or the same loyalty. You have a higher turnover staff, so you don't get the experience built up.
That's the point.
They have prison officers now on the cheap. They call the custody officers. And they're just better. I suppose they're a better value, but they haven't the same commitment, I don't believe.
Okay, Alex, thank you very
much. 19,000 is not a fortune.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much indeed for that. Edwin, an interesting call from another serving prison officer this morning who didn't want to come on and talk to us on the programme, but he did provide some interesting information. You talked earlier about yard patrols and what's happening in relation to them now. Well, this serving officer now tells us that yard patrols are now going on and staff are being disciplined if they refuse to go in them. And the prison officers, this has been a personal decision for prison officers in the past, but no longer. So in other words, now they're being forced to go on these yard patrols, which you say are pretty precarious for them.
I think it's a major issue, and the health and safety of the prison officers needs to be respected. And as I indicated at the start of the programme, prison officers are very often taking pills before they go into work, so that their nerves are settled. And that's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be for the prison itself, because prison officers shouldn't be going into to work in that state. reference was made to the younger prison staff who are coming in fairly low pay. There's an awful turnover of those staff, and many of them are leaving whenever a better opportunity arises. Many of them are leaving within 6 months and a year. And a huge amount of money is being expended training these young people for taking on the job. But very often when they get in to do the job, it's not something that they want to make a career out of. And therefore, there needs to be another look at how they're doing that and about how they're going to ensure that there is long-term maintenance of prison staff who have had a great experience. You know, reference was made earlier by a contributor to prison officers being overpaid. We lost an awful lot of experience over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. It was supposed to be a great idea that they would pay off expensive prison officers and bring in cheaper ones. And I think that we're seeing part of the consequence of it, because we have this huge turnover. We don't have enough staff in the prisons, and we have people who don't have the same level of experience. Perhaps people who have, down the years, seen it all as such and are better capable of dealing with the problems. And we really need to address the issue of staffing in our prisons. Otherwise, the problems are just going to mount and mount.
Okay, Edwin, last word to William McKeon, this one, the former governor at McGabbery Prison, who's already told us on the programme this morning that he is fearful that a prison officer is going to be killed or very seriously injured if nothing is done to try and rectify the situation on the wings at McGabbery. William, if you were sitting in David Ford's position today, or perhaps you were running the prison service, what would you be doing to try and fix this problem?
Well, what you would have to be doing would be talking to senior management team in McGabbery and getting a real handle on what the issues are, and then identifying what sort of resources that he's going to have to get immediately put in place. You know, it's not enough to say, OK, we'll recruit some more, because it'll take months to get them into the system, you know, and that could be too late. But the other important people that we haven't mentioned this morning, it's the families of the prison officers. Those prison officers are coming home at night stressed out, and their families are having to deal with that. So I think it's important also to mention the stress that the families are having to deal with because of this situation.
Okay. William, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for that. And thank you as well, Edwin Putin.